Hello, neighbor, and welcome to an unusual experience from the ministers of Evangelist Harold Leek. This tape recording, recorded live in various revival services, including songs that are light, and therefore the tape is called Alive, Light, and Lively. And I trust you'll enjoy it as you now hear the songs, unique in presentation, and yet with a firm message of truth.
Here, I'll ask you a question. What's better than this? Where's better than being here?
Well, heaven is better than this. Praise God, what glory and bliss. Walking on the streets of purest gold in that land where we'll never grow old. Heaven is better than this. Praise God, what glory and bliss. I like Holy Ghost meetings down here, but heaven is better than this.
You believe that? Well, I appreciate all nine of you. Now, what do the rest of you believe? Have you forgot how to say amen since that amen sermon I preached here last year, huh?
I say heaven is better than this. Oh, praise God, what glory and bliss. Walking on the streets of pure gold in that land where we'll never go. Oh, heaven is better than this. Praise God, what glory and bliss. I like Holy Ghost meetings down here, but heaven is better than this.
Pastor, I don't know where you stand or where they get to you after your services, but the people come by and shake your hand and tell you what a good message. Is that over at this door or that door? Where? Back yonder, back there, all right. And folks come by real nice-like and real polite-like, shake your hand and say, oh, that really touched my heart. That was a great message. They ever do that?
Just
you. You don't believe it, though, do you? No. I mean, be smart, man. Everybody shakes your hand and says that don't mean that. They're just finding some way to politely get out that door as quick as they can. This is called the 5 minutes after 12 song. It's applicable to those who want the service to be through by 11:59, the invitation closed by 12:02, and they want to be out that door by 5 after 12 on Sunday morning. And, of course, they come by. Well, it's now 5 minutes after 12. The benediction's o'er. The pastor shaking hands with folks as they go out the door. They compliment his message and try to look sincere. But what they're really thinking is not what the pastor hears. But have you ever wondered what's really on their mind? If you could read their thoughts, you'd be surprised at what you'd find. They act as though the service has really touched their heart. But here's what some are thinking as from church they do depart. You want to know what they're really thinking? I'm dashing through the door to make my getaway. The service now is o'er. The sermon was okay, but now to what I love to spend the rest of the day. Sitting there by my blue tooth to watch the Falcons play. Oh, run that ball, throw that pass, hit that old tight end. That play worked so good last week. Hey, run it once again. Watch him guard, hit him hard, protect our quarterback. They're coming through and blitzing too. That four times he's been sacked.
You like that?
Yeah, you like that. And you thought they were thinking about your sermon? Yeah, they want to get out there and get the kickoff. That's what they want. Of course, not everybody feels like that, do you, ladies? No, you got your dream going on up here. So as you go out the door, it's more like this. The sermon was so deep, I think I fell asleep. As he told about God, my head began to nod. I'm glad he's finally through, and I know what I'll do. Cause I can sleep much better there than sitting on that pew. I'll fall in bed and cover my head and sleep the day away. I'm glad our church is spiritual, cause I got no time to pray. I'll get my rest and do my best, at least I think I might. If nothing good is on TV, I'll try to go back Sunday night. That's what some of the lady folks. But then there's that other crowd. Let's see if they're here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes, some of them are here. What's on their mind? Well, the sermon was a bore. I'm glad it's finally over. I thought it through this crowd. Cause heard my stomach growl. I'm in a hurry, so to the restaurant I can go. If I'm not quickly served, it really grates upon my nerves. Oh, buffet food is so good. All I care to eat. There's 7 different vegetables, and look at all of that meat. The salad bar is best by far, and still to come dessert. When I get done, I think I'm going to be too full to burp. Yeah, you know you better plead guilty while you're here. Can I sing one more? I was going to anyway. I just want to know if you want to vote on it. Well, you know I got your number. This song tells why churches don't grow as rapidly as really they should, as rapidly as the Lord would be pleased. One key problem, and it's babies in the church that hinder churches. I'm not talking, I mean 25, 30-year-old babies, 40 and 50-year-old babies. Have to have their spiritual diapers changed every now and then. And got to keep the little old sugar pacifier in their mouth to keep them. Well, here's the problem. Churches have their problem. You're aware of this, no doubt. But have you ever really tried to consider what the main problem all about? Some blame the preacher. Some blame the deacons, some blame the people in the pew. But could it be maybe that so many church babies sing this song when there is something to do? They sing, I don't think do it, that cause you get through it. Don't ask me to twice. Somebody else, and let me sit here on the shelf and collect a lot of dust till I die. I shouldn't join the church to have a place to work. I do my work through the week. I try to wear a smile and come once in a while, but it's not a church job that I seek. Now someone is needed in the nursery to care for the little girls and boys, so the preaching of the Word of God won't be distracted by all that unnecessary noise. So one of the ladies is requested to use this opportunity to serve. But in a whining tone, she begins to moan. And she uses the excuse of her nerves as she sings, I just can't do it. That dog can't do it. Don't ask me to cry. I can listen to the television all week long, but I can't stand to hear a baby cry. I'll increase my giving, I'll improve my living, and the services I'll never shirk. But please don't get me back down that old nursery, cause I might have to do a little work. Well, a family moved away just a week ago today, and in the choir they left an empty space. So you're trying to find another, a sister or a brother, who'll stand up there and sing and fill their place. But you don't cry long till you hear this song from 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7. You know, it's a mighty good thing they think they're saved by grace, cause their works would never get them into heaven as it seems. I can sing 4 hours in the car or in the shower, and it sounds pretty good just for me. But I can't get loud when I'm singing to the crowd. I just can't do it, don't you see? Well, the junior girl's teacher telephones the preacher Sunday morning, and she tells him she's sick. Now the preacher's way behind and it throws him in the bind, cause he's gotta find a substitute quick. So he tries to get a sister, even tries to get a mister to take the class just for this time. But when he asks for help, oh, they both begin to yelp. And here's the little song that they whine. You get to say, I just can't do it. That's all that we're doing. Now don't ask me to cry. You see, I don't know the Bible, and I'm afraid I'm liable to plum have a heart attack and die. I thank you for calling, but I ain't good at talking. Well, that is, except on the telephone. It's the same old story all the way from earth to glory. When you need them, they'll sing this little song. They'll sing, I just can't do it. Now don't get me to do it. Now don't ask me to try. So get somebody else and let me sit here on the shelf and rust and gather dust until I die. Now you know it's so, but I'm so glad there's a few that has gone just a little bit, and you need them and you ask them. Brother, would you help me? Sister, would you fill this place? Thank God for those that'll say, well, I think I can do it if you'll just point me to it. I'm so glad to try. You see, I want to please my Lord and get a reward when I see him in the sweet by and by. So by the help of my King, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So if there's something to do, I promise you I'll be glad to do it. Don't you see? Amen. God, give us some more of that time. I like that. Amen. Well, I can't stand no more of that. Isn't that awful? Isn't that awful? I tell you, if you haven't been initiated by now, no, you've tried pouring no more on you. But you say, well, I thought you were going to preach. What do you think I've been doing? That's preaching. Amen. That's preaching. That's preaching with a melody to it. Ah, you go to a dentist, most of them will have that sweet, soothing background music while they're yanking on your tooth nerves. They're trying to get you distracted, and so I'm just sort of making a melody to distract you, but I'm pouring in the truth all the time I'm a-singing. Hey, you ever sing any of them I sung tonight? Can't blame you on that then, can I?
Dear listener, you're listening to Songs Alive, Light, and Lively. Evangelist Harold Leek speaking and welcoming you to this experience of a unique ministry of songs with practical truth. And this is merely a sample of the many, many songs we have available on long play album, 8-track tape, and cassette. Now, more singing.
I love preachers. My life is given to working with preachers. For 16 years, I have gone up and down and across this country working with preachers, pastors, and I love them. And I'll just make a statement. If you're not right with your pastor, you're not right with God.
Amen.
And when a person is not right with God, it's not going to take them very long to display that they're not very right with their pastor.
Right.
Because, well, folks always have one side or the other they can look at of a pastor and see something that's wrong. For instance, if their pastor dresses real nice, they say, oh, he must be full of pride. If he dresses sloppy, they say, oh, he's an old bum. If he condemns sin, they say he's a fighter. If he doesn't condemn sin, they say he's a compromiser. If he preaches a good sermon, they say he must be showing off this morning. If he preaches a sorry sermon, they said, well, just like usual, he didn't study this time. If he preaches a long sermon, they say he's too long-winded. If he preaches a short sermon, they say, well, he don't know much, does he? If he preaches on tithing, they say he's under the law. If he doesn't preach on tithing, then he can expect the church to go bankrupt. If he works for a living, they say he has no faith. And if he takes an offering, they say he must be preaching for money. And if he depends on the church for support, they say he's too lazy to work. If he prays a loud prayer, they say he's a Pharisee. If he prays soft prayers, they say he must be ashamed for his prayers to be heard. If he's a single man, he's chasing after the women. If he's a married man, he ought to stay home with his wife more. And if he's a widower, he probably worried his wife to death. And if, and if his wife is dead, then he's probably after another woman. And if he has credit, they say he's living above his means. And if he doesn't have credit, they say, well, he must not be able to be trusted. If he smiles at the saints, they say he's trying to break up somebody's home. If he don't smile, they say he's an old grouch, he's not friendly. If he has preacher's credentials, they say, well, he must be trying to impress somebody. And if he doesn't have preacher's credentials, they say he's not fit for the pulpit yet. I mean, you see, you can't win. You can't win. If he exposes sin, they say he's got a wrong spirit. And if he doesn't expose sin, he's a crook and a hypocrite and trying to cover up for somebody. If he preaches against tobacco, they say he's meddling. If he doesn't preach against tobacco, they say he's not preaching Bible holds. If he tells jokes, he ought to be more serious. And if he doesn't tell jokes, he's a killjoy. He don't want nobody to be happy. If he preaches love, he's a liberal. If he doesn't preach love, they say he's too legalistic. If he's good to everybody, he's too easygoing. And if he's not good to everybody, he has respect of persons. If he shakes hands with the women, he's flirting. And if he doesn't, he's a stuck-up old grouch. If he doesn't ask all the preachers in his church to preach in his pulpit, then he's selfish with his pulpit. And if he does, then his church gets busted up because of all them novice preachers. I mean, preacher, you can't win. You can't win. Well, that's the way it goes, you know. And a lot of people use that as a topic for gossip.
On the telephone in many homes, the gossip seldom stops. At the beauty parlor and laundromat, and at the barber shops. The preacher is the topic, and most all his faults you'll hear. As one by one church members pour their garbage in your ear. If you're weak enough to listen as they put their poison out, this is probably what their conversation's all about. They say there ain't nobody perfect, and I know he's just a man. But the way my pastor treated me, I just can't understand.
Let's listen in on the telephone and sort of drop in, you know, and eavesdrop on some party line and see what some church members are saying. One of them says, well, I was at home for 4 whole days. I think I have the flu. I called the doctor and called the druggist, called the boss man, too. I thought my pastor would come or call as I lay there sick with a bone. Well, no, I didn't call him, but you'd think he ought to have known. There ain't nobody perfect, and I know he's just a man. But the way our pastor treated us, we just can't understand. Well, my boys sit in the back of the church where they enjoy it best. They say it makes them nervous to sit up front with all the rest. You'd think the pastor would be glad to have my boys around. But that old bossy pastor's always a-calling my boys down. There ain't nobody perfect, and I know he's just a man. But the way our pastor treated us, we just can't understand. Well, another church member might speak up and say, well, we carried our boy to the hospital when he fell and he broke his arm. Of course, that's not too serious, but prayer could do no harm. My pastor never came to pray before we took him out. Well, no, we didn't call him, but you'd think he'd have tried to find out. There ain't nobody perfect, and I know he's just a man. But the way our pastor treated us, we just can't understand. Another church member might speak up and say, well, we were 3 full months behind on payments on our new TV. They threatened to repossess our boat because we were broke, you see. I asked the pastor to pray about a new car we planned to buy. And though he knows how poor we are, he said we ought to tie. There ain't nobody perfect, and I know he's just a man. But the way our pastor treated us, we just can't understand. And of course, there's that lady that said, I took some flowers to the church and I placed them on the table. Of course, I want no glory. I just do what I'm able. But the service passed and the preacher didn't even call my name. Well, it'll be a month of Sundays before I take any flowers again. There ain't nobody perfect, and I know he's just a man. But the way our pastor treated us, we just can't understand. Isn't that like Baptist? Isn't that like Baptist? But thank God I met one or two along the way that said, What'd they say? Here's what they said. I just wrote this song before I come out here, so I haven't got it all together yet. But one woman spoke up and said, "My pastor's such a wonderful man. He really loves the Lord. It's great to know he's faithful in the preaching of God's word. A friend to all who'll let him be, and that's why it seems odd that you church members say such things about the man of God. There ain't nobody perfect, and I know he's just a man. But I thank God he gave us our pastor in his plan. If you can't love our pastor, then the problem is with you. Get right with God and stop your tongue, and you can love him too." Amen?
Amen.
Well, say amen. Don't sit there and blink at me like a frog in a rainstorm. I'll think you're guilty of some of that. Well, I would hope you're not. Well, you've heard the song, Excuses. How many of you have ever heard it? Mm-hmm. Many of you have heard it. Well, since you've heard it, I don't guess I will sing it. You done heard it. But you know what them stinking excuse makers have done? They have said, "You know that Leap feller, he's wise to our excuses, so we ain't going to use them no more." And they just about stopped using them and made up a new set. Yeah. Them 32 first ones I wrote about, they about quit using them, and they started making some more. So you know what I've done? I got my pen out and wrote more excuses, excuses number two. And I got you pegged again, sister. I got you pegged again, mister. Cause you've been busy. Excuses, more excuses. We hear them oh so much. As people try to justify why they are not in church. If they love God, it's rather odd why they should get so nervous when asked again as they explain why they miss Sunday service. Now some will say they overslept, the clock did not alarm. While some explain arthritis pain that crippled both their arms. Some will cough and hem and haw while trying to think of a reason. But for them, the real truth is, it's not church-going season. Well, a lady came to church just once, but never did return. The pastor made a visit, so the reason he might learn. She gave the preacher her excuse with a cold and frosty breath. She said, "With the air conditioning in your church, I nearly froze to death." Oh, you've heard that. Well, a couple of blocks on down the street, another lady lived. The pastor stopped to see just what excuses she might give. Though she had come the very same Sunday as the lady up the street, she said, "Your church was just so hot, I couldn't stand that heat." Excuses, more excuses, we hear them oh so much. As people try to justify why they are not in church. If they love God, it's rather odd that they should get so nervous as they explain when asked again why they miss Sunday service. Well, a man missed Sunday school and church, so the pastor showed his quickness. He phoned the man who then explained in just one word, sickness. Well, the pastor, still unsatisfied, went to his home and found the man was giving worm-capped food to three of his old hounds. Sickness, yeah. Well, a woman came to church just once. She brought her baby with her. But when she left the church that day, she was all in a dither. The pastor went out to her home, her complaint to hear. She said, "I put my baby in the nursery, and another young man did it here." Excuses, excuses, you'll hear them all every day. The devil will supply you if from church you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. And so to keep folks from God's house, he offers them excuses. Amen. More truth than humor there. Amen, you know it.
So I might as well just go ahead and try it out on you folks. And I don't know what I'm going to call it yet. I think I'll call it, "You Picked a Fine Time to Leave Me Loose Wheel." And... Years ago, the black folk used to gather in their churches, and they had some that wouldn't get in, wouldn't get out, wouldn't get right, and wouldn't get out. And so they started singing a song. I don't know if you ever heard it or not. Let the church roll on. Let the church roll on. Let the church roll on, my Lord. Let the church roll on. Get the deacon in the church, and you won't do right. What shall we do? Pray the Lord to put him out. Let the church roll on. I don't know if you ever heard that or not. How many of you heard that before tonight? Huh? Have you? That's an old one. Well, let the church roll on. Let the church roll on. I believe in that. In fact, I believe stronger than most churches that there's a place for discipline in the local church. Disciplinary action for those who have square wheels instead of round wheels and want to, you know, keep the church from rolling. They don't want the church to roll on. They want to block the progress. And I realize that God's people, you never like to see one go. Now, preacher, you've had some join your church, some that came in, and you worked and worked and worked and worked with them, and in spite of all you could do, they still went on somewhere else, and it broke your heart to see them leave. I say God's people. But there are some times that the devil will send you on. Won't be God's people. And man, you do everything you can to get rid of them, and they still won't go. And if they won't get saved, you just have to take some kind of action, even if it's just getting on your prayer bones and saying, God, if you don't move them out, I'm going to. You know? In fact, I pastored for a number of years, during which time some folks looked better going than they did coming. They really did. Now, I have read where scientists or botanists or biologists or whatever it is studies these things. They studied birds, and they say there's only one kind of bird that can fly both forwards and backwards. That's a hummingbird. But they just haven't met some Baptist birds I've met. There's some Baptist birds that can fly backwards and forwards and sideways all at the same time, you know, sometimes. Well, let's see what I got here. I don't even know because I hadn't heard it before myself. Often in churches, a Baptist bird perches to sit and find fault with the rest. He judges the others, the sisters and brothers, and finds something wrong with the best. He's straight as a curve, and he never will serve. Has just one ambition, it seems, to keep trouble stirred up and to tear the church up with methods so cruel and so mean. A pastor who preaches eventually reaches this man with the message of truth. Instead of repenting, he then starts to venting his anger in things he can do. He'll backbite and gossip and try to get lots of church members to follow his ways. Biting the pastor, creating disaster, and forcing God's people to pray. With praying and preaching and sound Bible teaching, the saints finally know how to pray. If he won't get in and be saved from his sin, then Lord, move this man on his way. Then God gives the answer, and this two-legged cancer that's treated God's people so wrong finally leaves, and the church is relieved, and together they now sing this song. They sing, a man who was among us, who wasn't one of us, it's clear now he'd never been saved. Just a church member, satanic pretender, who insisted on having his way. While not being real, he tried to be a big wheel, but a wheel that was rolling so wrong. But God cooked his goose and tore that wheel loose, and we are so glad that he's gone. You picked a fine time to leave us loose, wheel. So roll on your way as we sing happy day. You can't know the joy that we feel. And now by God's grace, you will be replaced by those whose salvation is real. We're sad that you left us, Louisville.
To bless you tonight, and I'm expecting a blessing. Are you expecting a blessing? I sure am. And I've asked one of my favorite preachers to preach to me tonight. I'll tell you, the first time I heard him preach, I said, my, that's good. And then I had him to come and preach to us here in a meeting, and I said, that's getting better. And the more I've listened, the more I've enjoyed, and I thank God for Brother Harold Leake and the messages that he preaches, because he preaches the Word. And so we're looking forward to it. I ask him to come and just do it. Just sing to us and preach to us and have himself a good time, and we're bound to enjoy it. So, Brother Harold Leake, it's good to have you with us, brother. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm really glad to be here. Glad indeed to have this opportunity. This coming Wednesday night, I believe I'm correct, there's a business meeting here. This is a Baptist church, and a business meeting in a Baptist church here is different from what some of you were raised in, I'm sure. This is the only church I know of where you can go to a business meeting and have a revival, right in the midst of a business meeting. So many times a business meeting in a Baptist church means a riot instead of a revival. And so many folks, when they announce business meeting, they get tense and nervous and frustrated. And those who haven't been to church in months say, well, I'm going and watch the fur fly when the deacons furnish it. And, you know, it's so good to know that God's people trust their leadership. Well, that's the way God intended it to be. But some Baptist churches, no, 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 no. If we have a business meeting, Pastor, that means every dime that is spent, we get to vote on it. Yes, sir? If a light bulb burns out, let's vote on whether to put a 75 or 100 watt bulb in there. If the teacher runs out, let's vote on Charmin or Delsey. I mean, really? You think I'm joking, but there are churches that vote on everything. They want to keep down everybody's feelings. Well, that could lead to problems. Well, I saw something strange on the way to a church one Sunday. Four billows of smoke came pouring through the front door. I ran right up to tell the leading deacon. Something should be done, for the church is on fire for sure. And he said, that's a point well put and a timely suggestion that we'll take up at the very next meeting of the Board of Deacons just 1 week from now. I said, you're going to wait a week and vote on it? This place will be burned to ashes. He said, well, I don't know why, but that's the way we do it. And furthermore, that's the way we've always done it. That's our custom and traditional policy. Well, I went to attend the very same church the next Sunday. They were meeting in a tent bought and paid for by the building fund. I rushed right in to tell the congregation, hey, there's a tornado coming, everybody better run. And they said, that's a point well put and a timely suggestion that we'll take up at the very next meeting of the Board of Deacons just 1 week from now. I said, you're going to wait a week? Why, this place will be blown off the map. They said, well, I don't know why, but that's the way we do it. And furthermore, that's the way we've always done it. That's our custom and traditional policy. Well, I attended their open-air meeting the very next Sunday. When the trumpet blew and the clouds were rolled away, And as I began to rise, I shouted back down to the congregation, "Hey, lift up your heads, the Lord has come today." And they said, "That's a point well put and a timely suggestion that we'll take up at the very next meeting of the Board of Deacons just 1 week from now." I said, "The Lord's come, idiots. You're going to wait and vote on whether to go with him or not?" They said, "I don't know why, but that's the way we do it. And furthermore, that's the way we've always done it. That's our custom and traditional policy." I said, "What kind of church is this anyhow?" They said, "Well, that's another thing. We don't want no ripple. We don't want nobody's feelings hurt. So we vote on everything, even voted on naming the church." And it took a while. But finally, we agreed on a name that offends nobody. "For we're the First Nazareth Baptistical Seventh-day Orthodox Lutheran Mormon Witnesses Non-Denominational Church." I said, "That figures. That figures." I write a lot of songs that I sing for that cause. No one else cares to sing them. But for that reason, they're my favorites. And so I usually give you something you never have heard before and something you never want to hear again, but something that ought to be run through your head one time in your life just to see what you've been missing. And different things give me ideas for songs, such as your pastor made a statement yesterday morning, you might have remembered, about folks who rob God without a gun, just withhold their tithes and offerings. And you know, there are a lot of folks that are guilty of just such. Did you ever hear this song? Yes. What is that, huh? "Pop goes the weasel." I never have figured out how a weasel goes pop. I never did figure that out. I don't think that song makes sense. But mine does. I wrote ones, "Plop goes the skinflint," instead of "Pop goes the weasel." I don't know what "Pop goes the weasel" means, but I know what a skinflint is, and I know what "plop" is. Well, a lot of Baptists have no joy because they're not right with God. But those who have the least of all are penny-pinching type ones. Of course they have money for everything except the church and missions, while looking for happiness everywhere for souls, they have no vision. For the dog and cat there's much expense, for the vet and food and flea collar, but to keep a missionary on the field, plump goes the dollar. You spend $80 for the electric bill, $40 for the phone and water, but when the offering plate comes around, plop goes the quarter. $500 on a color TV, that's $50 a month on time. But once a week in the house of God, you sacrifice a dime, poor thing. You spend $200 for Christmas gifts, well, $300, $400. Dolls and toys and bicycles, but when the usher passes the plate, plop goes the nickel. $6 for a seat at the old ballpark, the games you don't want to miss any, but in church you nearly tear your pockets out while digging down for that penny. A lot of Baptists have no joy because they're not right with God, but those who have the least of all are penny-pinching tightwads. That ought to get us off to a real good start. That separates the men from the boys and the gals from the whatever they are. All right. Let's see. Here's another one I recently wrote. I got to try them out on somebody. Please be merciful to me, will you? No ripe tomatoes this time of year, are there? So I think I'm pretty safe. Why are you here? Do you believe it's right to go to church? You mean no matter why you go, just so you go is right? Not necessarily so. Sometimes you can do a right thing with a wrong motive, and it's wrong to do a right thing with a wrong motive, because the motivation is wrong. As I travel o'er the country, I meet a lot of folk. They come to church on Sunday, but their coming is a joke. They really don't seem to care to be with God's people, but I guess they feel religious when they walk beneath the steeple. Some come to church just to listen to the singing, more for the music than the message and the meaning. Some come to church just to keep from being idle, but thank God for those that come to learn from the Bible. I got two amens. Hey, amen. I'm going to sing another verse of that. Some little girls seem to come just to wiggle. Some a little older seem to come to laugh and giggle. They compete for attention and the preaching's never heard. But thank God for those that come to hear God's word. Some come because they want to get in on the fun. Some come to ride a bus and get some bubble gum. They sit and make a racket with their feet up on the floor. But thank God for those that come to really know the Lord. Amen. I'm picking up some amens as I go. I'm going to sing another one. Well, some young folks come a sweetheart to meet. Others come to plant a wad of gum beneath their seat. Some come because they couldn't go to the beach. But thank God for those who want to hear the preacher preach. Some come because their parents make them come with them, sitting back and cut up during the invitational hymn. Some come to catch a nap and sit and sleep and nod. But thank God for those who come to hear the word of God. I know you'll say amen to that one, amen. All right. Some come because they think that everybody ought. Some come to show off new clothes that they bought. Some come for reasons unbelievable and odd. But I thank God for those that come to hear the word of God. Now folks come to church, as you see, for many reasons. No matter what the time of year, the weather, or the seasons. But no matter why you come, the truth still remaineth. It only pleases God when the love of Christ constraineth. Now, that's really why you ought to be here. How many of you are here tonight because you heard you're going to be something to eat? Hold your hand up good and high. All right. I hope you're here to feed on God's Word. Well, that's let's see.
I want to give you a message that will give you an answer to, have you ever seen a talk show? Maybe some notable personality interview? There are certain programs that interview those who are famous. 15 years from now, how old will you be? Oh, real old, won't you? 15 years from now, you may be watching a television program, and some interviewer will say, "I understand, sir," speaking to a man, "I understand that you are the most violent criminal that this world has ever known." "Oh, yeah, that's right." "I understand you've killed 722 people." "Yes." "I understand that you've robbed 4,018 banks." "Oh, yes." "I understand that you have..." And down the list of crimes, the interviewer may go. And the man will agree, "I've done all of that." In fact, he's the world's greatest criminal. The interviewer may say, "Where did you learn to commit so many crimes?" That man may say, "Well, you want me to be honest?" "Yes, I want you to be honest this time. Where I learned to commit so many crimes was, once I belonged to the young and the restless, but since then I've seen the guiding light. Now with happy days, there's a family feud, and I often am seeing the edge of night. World turn like the wheel of fortune. The days of our lives are like a newlywed game. The price is right, and it's all in the family, and the doctors all say that I'm going insane. All of my children are bewitched by genie with Barbara Walters and Walter Cronkite. So with that odd couple, I'll search for tomorrow in General Hospital, where there's love of life. It seems Ryan's hope has to be Hogan's Heroes, and Mike Douglas' concentration to tell the truth.
If my three sons tell Archie, he'll tell Andy Griffith, and Gomer Pyle on Gilligan's Island will know I love Lucy. As the world turns like the wheel of fortune, the days of our lives are like a newlywed game. The price is right, and it's all in the family, and the doctors all say, yep, and I know too that stuff will drive you insane.
Don't look so guilty, I think you are. Ah, well, I see. It's amusing to stand where I stand and see what I see when I sing what I sing. It really is. I see folks that try to look so innocent, and I see folks who, you know, they beam when their program is named, and then they punch somebody whenever theirs is named, and on it goes. But, you know, I would not be surprised at all if the greater of the criminals did not learn much they learned from the boob tube. So it's a dangerous place to spend a lot of idle time. Indeed it is. In fact, the Lord's given us so much better to do if we're S-A-V-E-D. What does that spell? Thank you. Some of you studied your spelling. Say, very soft. Let's get loud with it. What about H-A-P-P-Y? That's not loud. What about S-I-N? You're still just sort of breathing it out. Can you give me a... How about F-R-E-E? Free! How about that, huh? How about G-L-O-R-Y? Nobody would ever accuse you of being charismatic or Pentecostal. Glory. Glory. How about glory? Let me just sing it. Well, it's G-L-O-R-Y to know that I'm S-A-V-E-D. I'm H-A-P-P-Y because I'm F-R-E-E. I once was B-O-U-N-D with a change of S-I-N. It's V-I-C-T-O-R-Y to know Christ lives within. I know some members of the church as lazy as can be. On Sunday morning they will lay at home in B-E-D. Then on Sunday night they claim that they must get R-E-S-T. And still they've got the nerve to claim their S-A-V-E-D. I've seen some boys rear back and puff their S-M-O-K-E, while others chew and spit their filthy J-U-I-C-E. They play their cards and drink their beer and shoot D-I-C-E. Still they've got the nerve to claim their S-A-V-E-D. I know some folks that God has blessed with a real good J-O-B, a salary and a regular I-N-C-O-M-E. But still they never give the Lord his T-I-T-H-E. And still they've got the brass to claim their S-A-V-E-D. Oh, it's G-L-O-R-Y to know that I'm S-A-V-E-D. I'm H-A-P-P-Y because I'm F-R-E-E. I once was B-O-U-N-D with a change of S-I-N. It's V-I-C-T-O-R-Y to know Christ lives within. I know a man who struts around the T-O-W-N. He drinks his beer and whiskey, and he serves his G-I-N. He helps to put the poison in his neighbor's C-U-P. But still he's got the brass to claim that he's S-A-V-E-D. Some girls hardly ever wear a D-R-E-S-S. Instead they wear their breeches or their P-A-N-T-S. They do not dress to please the Lord, it's very plain to see. And still they've got the nerve to claim that they're S-A-V-E-D. Some call it rock music, and yet we know full well such sounds and words must be inspired by the D-E-V-I-L. By the movement it creates and the D-A-N-C-E. You know it's not for anyone that's S-A-V-E-D. Oh, well, it's G-L-O-R-Y to know that I'm S-A-V-E-D. I'm H-A-P-P-Y because I'm F-R-E-E. I once was B-O-U-N-D with a change of S-I-N. It's V-I-C-T-O-R-Y to know Christ lives within. I sat there and looked at me like a frog in a rainstorm. You know what I was singing. Yes, you spelled it right along with me, and that's good.
And anybody sleepy? Huh? Anybody sleepy? All wide awake and alert? Well, that's good. That's good. Because you won't feel as though I'm singing personally to you. I want to share a song that could often be sung from the pulpit and be very applicable, and even in the midst of a sermon, a pastor may be tempted to stop preaching and start singing according to the inspiration that he gets from the audience. Here's a song that a pastor, even our pastor, may want to sing sometime. Beautiful dreamer, awake unto me. I'm talking to you there on pew number 3. Sleeping in church is wrong for a deacon, especially while I am up here a-preaching. Oh, beautiful dreamer, don't start to snore. I've covered 3 points, but I've got 4 more. So if you'll excuse me, I'll go ahead. But next Sunday, why don't you stay home in bed? Oh, beautiful dreamer, please wake up and see. Listen, fellas, you're stealing my thunder, huh? Yeah. Beautiful dreamer, please wake up and see that what you are doing should never happen to me. The pianist is yawning, but I dare not correct him, for so are all the deacons and the music director. Oh, beautiful dreamer, things could get worse, for deacon rotation comes October 1st. So sleep on and dream, sir, and have no fear. And I'll see that you're an usher by this time next year. Oh, but let me tell you something. If a pastor dared to sing to some sleepy-eyed deacon, that sleepy-eyed deacon would wake up in this Sunday afternoon and long enough to write him a song, dedicating it to the pastor. He would come back Sunday night and insist on equal time. Pastor, dedicated to you from that deacon you sung to this morning, here's your song. From this church field, they say, you are leaving. We will not shed one tear when you go, for you stepped out of line once too often, and you offended your church members so. Well, now you said that we all should be tithers, but when you said it, you looked straight at me. And from that point till now, I've been angry, because I'm saved by grace, and that's free. And you told us to visit our neighbors and to give them the gospel so true. But we have not spoken once to our neighbor since July of 1972. Well, now it isn't that we do not admire you, 'cause you're a good man as far as that goes. But you must learn to stick to the gospel and to stay off your church members' toes. Yeah, that's what they want. That's what they want. More truth than humor in the song, but, you know, a lot of things are rather funny and absurd and ridiculous. They're so sinful, they're comical, aren't they, huh?
Right? How many husbands are here and your wife is here with you? Let's see. Hold your hand up if you're not ashamed. And if you, all right, very good. All right, men. Do you love your wife? Hold your hand up if you love your wife, huh? Yeah, I better get mine up. All right. Question. The more you love her, the further you want to get away from her, right? Huh? Not hardly, he said. The more you love her, then the closer you'd rather be, huh? Well, this song sort of uses that
in comparison with something else that's very common. And I wrote a song last September, and I have been looking for a church to sing it to. And I have found that church. And not all of you now, but some of you in this church give me the blues. What kind of blues? I got the backseat blues. I got the backseat blues. And here's what gave me those backseat blues. Know what gave them to me? When people go to a sporting event, whether a pauper or king, they do all they can to sit close as they can, not wanting to miss a thing. But isn't it strange when they come to God's house, they choose all the seats towards the back? Say what you will, but a truth this reveals. It shows both their love and their lack. You're glad you're on the front seat tonight, aren't you, brother? Yeah. Amen. This one night I won't sing to you, isn't it, huh? Their love and their lack, this clearly reveals. For love makes you want to get closer. But when love is lacking, you'll find people backing, not wanting to get close. Oh, no, sir. When people go to a big dinner spread, food of all sorts to be eaten, there's pushing and shoving to get to the front, for no one there wants to be beaten. They fill up their plate and they pull up their chair as close as they can to the table. They don't want to spill a thing in their lap while eating all that they are able. But when it comes to feeding the soul with the milk and the meat of God's Word, they are content to sit close to the back where distraction... Well, here come the saints. Amen. That's pretty good singing, isn't it? That's pretty good singing. That seen a couple of the front, right in the middle of the song, they got under his conviction so much they just couldn't speak. Well, let me try a few more verses. Maybe we get some more to move up. Amen. But when it comes to feeding the soul with the milk and the meat of God's Word, they are content to sit close to the back where distractions all hinder God's Word. To sit in the back is to see every move of each baby, each woman and man. Such movements that often will capture our thoughts, taking them off of God's plan. In cafeterias or when folks buy groceries, they rush for the front of the line. You know it's true, ladies. Let me be first, oh let me be up front. Yes, Lord, let me be that church kind. While every seat in the church is for sitting, yet every time the church meets, God help me to love Him and want to get closer as long as there's still some front seats. And I see a few. Now some as you listen don't care for this song. I don't care. For it bothers your pattern of life. But what if the way that you shun the front seats, you'd shun your husband or wife? Your love and your lack, it clearly reveals, for love makes you want to get closer. But when love is lacking, you'll find yourself backing, not wanting to be close. Oh, no, sir. Well, I said it, and I'm glad. I said it, and I'm glad. Hey. Now, that was overdue, wasn't it, preacher? Yeah, he never would have got up enough courage or had enough boldness or whatever it takes to sing it. And I'm leaving in a day or two, so it didn't matter that much to me. But anyway, that I wanted to share.
This completes the recorded songs on this side of the cassette tape, but on the other track of this same cassette tape are many other songs recorded in services light, alive, and lively. If you've enjoyed these songs, in all probability you would appreciate many of the other recorded songs I have available on cassette tape, 8-track tape, and long play album, songs that I have written and recorded, as well as many of the songs sung by my precious wife and songs that we sing together, and also Included on the free listing sheet that I send is a list of many, many, many Bible messages, timely, interesting subjects from God's Word, preaching as recorded live in the revival services. If you'd like to have a free listing of all available 8-track tapes, long play albums, cassette tapes of songs and preaching, that listing and order sheet is available by writing to me. Address all correspondence to me regarding revival meetings or the ministries of Evangelist Harold Leek and recordings. Address your mail to me, Evangelist Harold Leek, 645 Oakland Avenue, Asheboro, North Carolina, zip code 27203. I hope to hear from you soon, that you may then again soon hear from me.